Mati, Lalita Sakiki, Sira Mucha Kaunki, Go Prevani,
thank you very much. We have arrived in Uchagaon, at the place of Srimati Lalita Sakhi, and we will be hearing a lot about her and her wonderful activities. But before we start, I would like to introduce Krishnanand Prabhu. This is Krishnanand Prabhu. Very nice Sevite. For 2 weeks he took care of me. And there is also your good name, Prabhu?
Sarvesh.
Sarvesh Prabhu? Sarvesh also, they took care of Gaurahari and myself. And did not get tired of us. And then is Savari. Oh, Savari! Come! Where?
Inside.
Inside. This is Savari. please see her. She is also a resident of this sacred space and is fully absorbed in the consciousness of Gopal. Hare Krishna, nice to see you. And Baba is a
Vent.
Sankit, yes. And there are other residents. He is, where is Mataji cooking Mataji? There, Anda, yes. And others here are almost like Gaurahari and my family members. You saw that little devotee who jumped up and down with pleasure. He likes only to chant Hare Krishna, and he sings all day and smiles. You all have become famous in Germany because I have presented the photos of Krishnanand, Savari, everyone, and it's well known. So the names of these deities, I believe, are Shishi Radha, Lalita Vihari, yes. You will find Radha and Krishna in the center, and on the right side, from their perspective, there is a deity of Srimati Lalita Sakhi. And yes, then Radha Lalita Vihari Kid, yes. And then here you see this wonderful Shila, and you must actually come to the front. On this Shila, you are actually finding the imprint, a natural photocopy imprint of Radha and Krishna. It is a very wonderful little card on which the Shila is placed, and you can see Radha and Krishna. You can see on the left side Krishna with the dhoti and flute, and on the right side Srimati Radharani. If you can't see it immediately, you must look through the eyes of Prema. Then you can see it for sure. But this is the Shila. You please, our Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj is highly advanced, and you can please come close, Maharaj, and they are visible. Krishnanand, maybe you can show Krishna. Yeah? Krishna? Do feed Charan? Krishna? Krishna is clear, yes. Okay. Yes. Krishna clear. And Radha, where? Radha, please show. Radha Rani. She is hidden in Krishna's heart. Yes. In Krishna's heart. There, see, this is through the eyes of Prema you can see. Yes. In the Prema heart of Krishna is Radha. This is the idea. Mood of Krishna. Yes. Yes. Wonderful. You have explained a deep hidden Vrindavan secret. But you can see the one foot is over the other, and there's a dhoti. I'm actually thinking of taking all of you on the roof so that I can show you Uchagaon. Is that a good idea? Yeah, that you can see everything, and then we will go to our bhajan stali. No, very good. how do we get on the, how do we go on the roof, Krishnanand? Achcha. So please come on the. Hare Krishna, please come upstairs by using the staircase in the back of the temple. You're so enthusiastic, isn't it? What did he say?
Saying Lalita ji is asking, who is the Sakhi that has come? It is you. And then, you know, then he was welcoming you. Lalita ji is welcoming the Sakhi has come. And then he started glorifying you in the first time.
So, Hare Krishna, please, devotee jis, Gaurahari, where are you? Isn't your harmonium is here? Yes. Yes. So, dear devotees, this is a quick overview of the holy places of Uchagaon. We will start here where we are. This is, of course, the Mandir of Srimati Lalita Sakhi. Our enthusiastic devotee who sang so nicely greeted us at the place of Lalita and invited us in the eternal pastimes of her. Now, if you, I would start, let us look there at the temple which has a little flag. That is a temple of Lord Balaram which is said to be 500 years old. It's an ancient temple. You might ask yourself, what is Lord Balaram doing at a place which is reserved to the Madhurya Leela, the very sweet Leela of Radha and Krishna? And the answer to your question is that Balaram is very anxious for the protection of his brother Krishna, and therefore he comes and stays a little outside Uchagaon in this particular Balaram Mandir. If you would look at Balaram, you would see how Balaram is has the color of a blue monsoon cloud. And you might ask another question. I thought Balaram is white like a crystal. Why is he there blue like a monsoon cloud? And the answer is very simple for a Vrindavan enthusiast. Our Balaram always thinks about Lord Krishna. And by thinking of Krishna, he has invited Krishna in his heart. And from there, Krishna has colored his whole system monsoon blue. Let us now move on from Balaram and look a little bit in the back. There on the hill you see Vashana, the silhouette of Srimati Radharani's temple. And if you move on the hill a little to the right, you see the Jaipur Mandir. And if you move further, you see a third construction, that's the Man Mandir, where the man of Radharani was broken by Krishna. Now, again, zoom back, shoop, and you will find in the field just before us, which is dotted with a few yellow flowers, these are mustard, a coop or a well. This is called the Triveni coop. Once Krishna and Balaram were herding their cows here, and the cows became very, very thirsty. And Krishna noticed the thirst of his cows, but he also noticed there was no water around. So he took his transcendental flute and dug a hole in this sacred ground and called Tri means three, Venis means rivers. He called Ganga, Saraswati and Yamuna, and obediently they came here and merged into the Kund, and it is said that even up to this day there are the three rivers, sacred rivers in this well. So a pilgrim usually drinks water from this well, and we might make an arrangement so that is possible. Then you go to this forested area. Inside of this area, yeah, again to the right, you move on. There is this forested area which composes the area of Narayan Bhatta. You will hear more about Narayan Bhatta when you are there. Move a little further right, there is a little Shiva Mandir. And now please watch me and my cattle equipped hand. There is a mountain just before us. Do you see this particular mountain? It is called the Sakigiri Parvat. This mountain is full with footprints of the Lord, and you will find a place up there where this little cow dung cottage is, where there are 56 imprints in the rock. Imprints for what? Well, once Krishna and Balaram took the prasadam, and the rock supplied katoris, that is little bowls for them to place their preparations in, and they took directly from Sri Rock, who served their lordship. If you now go down the Sakigiri Parvat, you will find a rock. In this area, Srimati Radharani arranged the marriage between Lalita and Krishna, and was so overjoyed when the marriage actually took place that in Leela, that her veil slipped and fell on a rock. Now this rock melted because it came in contact with the ecstatic veil of Srimati Radharani, and to this day the rock bears the imprint of the veil of Srimati Radharani. This is very nice. Then you move further into the fork, there is Shitrasaki's village at the moment imperceivable to all of us, and now we all will move to this area, please, of the roof, and there I will tell you of another place called Dehakund. Please come with me. So please look now down. Here you see the most beautiful Dehakund. Deha, of course, means body. Once, the story goes, Srimati Lalita was taking her bath very shyly and dressed like the bathing ladies of Braj are dressed in this kund, and Srimati Radharani was just a little on the bank. She was not in the water. All of a sudden, Lord Krishna appeared with his transcendental flute. And naturally, the lady Radharani and Lalita were in the bathing mood. They were ready. One was already in the water, the other ready to go. And it was a little special situation. So Krishna looked at them and said, "I have come here to ask for a gift. Please give me a gift." Srimati Radharani looked at Krishna and so lovingly said, "My Prananath, you certainly know that I am totally dependent on you. Today I offer my body, my mind, and all my words to you. This is all what I have. Please accept it." And Krishna was so pleased by this complete surrender that he said, "I'm so satisfied by this gift. And I want to also give you a gift, the gift of my divine form. Whenever, O Lalita, you think of whenever you think of me, Radhika, at that time I will appear with my form in your heart." So here you can say the dehas, or the transcendental bodies of the divine couple, were exchanged. Srimati Radharani gave herself completely to Krishna, and Krishna also, seeing this total surrender, responded by giving himself to Srimati Radharani. "Whenever you think of me, I will appear with my form inside your heart. This is Deha Kund, the Kund of full surrender. And the temple here contains the deities of Shishi Radha Deha Bihari Lal Kijay. And on the corner is a little Shivji who guards the sacred place. And this, in this kund, the many marriages parties of pious brahmanas come and they give their sacred marriage vows here. So this is a brief overview from the bird's eye, from the Garuda eye of Ucha Gaon. It is a very untouched and simple place, I think you can see. That residents here are very simple, Brijbasis, unspoiled by many Western there are not so many Western pilgrims coming here. They are very, very nice.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we'd like to sing a song today, which was written by Srila Rupa Goswami. Yesterday, the day before yesterday, we were in Terakadamba, and we were hearing something about Rupa Goswami and her original position as Rupa Manjari. So we want to sing a song written by Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami is a follower of Lalita Sakhi, so this is a very appropriate song to sing here. But this is a song to Krishna. You might question why we want to sing a song about Krishna in the place of Lalita. If you want to please Krishna, you'll sing some song for him about Radharani or the gopis. But if you want to please Radharani and the gopis, then you'll sing some song for their pleasure about Krishna. So this particular song is a very wonderful song, Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande, in which Rupa Goswami describes the mood of the gopis and Radharani Lalita. This song also we like to think of because it has some connection with Srila Prabhupada. Before Srila Prabhupada came to the West, you might know from Lilamrita and that he went to Orissa and he wrote several letters. He was staying in Jagat Singhpur in one ashram, which is now a Nittai Gaur Radhisham place. We visited that temple. And Prabhupada stayed there for several days trying to get some money from some wealthy donors to go to Japan because he wanted to preach in Japan there. And while he was staying in that temple, every day he was singing this very wonderful song, Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande. The devotees here, they remember that. So we're also remembering something about Srila Prabhupada in that connection. So before we start, we'd like to recite a couple of prayers to Lalita Sakhi. And we ask all of you to please respond. These are the names of the Asta Sakhis, or Radharani's principal girl companions. Please repeat. Lalita Cha Vishaka Cha Chitra Champakalaika Ranga Devi Sudevi Cha Tanga Vidya Induyekula Etabhyo Astasaki Bhyascha Satancha Namo Namaha Tatapi Mama Sarvasva Lalita Sarva Vandita. So this song we'll sing. I'll sing one line and we'll explain each line and we'll continue to sing. There's a very nice chorus which all of you can follow. We can sing, and those who have songbooks, you can sing responsibly with the main line. But everyone can sing the chorus. It's a very simple chorus. Please repeat. Krishna,
Krishna
Deva,
Deva,
Bhavantam Vande Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Deva Bhavantam Vande Bolo Krishna Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Krishna Mana Mana Samadhi Karam Abhaya Nija Pada Pankaja Mana mana samaru karam paya nij para mana mana samaru karam paya nij para mana mana samaru karam paya nij para Rupa Goswami, he's singing that Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande. For the gopis, they're praying to Krishna. That, oh, hey Krishna, you're our only Deva. You're the only Deva that we're worshipping. Huh? And we have this particular prayer to you. Mana manasa madukaram arpaya nijapada pankaja makarande. It's a very, very beautiful poetry. He's saying that my mind is just like a bumblebee. And may this bumblebee of my mind become attached to the lotus-like feet of Krishna, to your lotus-like feet. Because your lotus-like feet, they have so much nectar. Huh? Our minds are attracted to so many nonsense things. But Rupa Goswami is giving us some very nice prayer here that we can offer to Krishna, that please, may my mind become attached to your lotus feet. And then perhaps Rupa Goswami is thinking to himself that Krishna may say, but you know, it's a very difficult thing. It's a very exalted thing to become attached to my lotus feet. So then, in response to that, Rupa Goswami, perhaps he says, Yadyapi samadishu vidirapi pashyati natava natajam harichi. Yadyapi samadishu vidirapi pashyati natava natajam harichi. Yadyapi samadishu virapi pashyati natava nakadamarichi. Yadyapi samadishu virapi pashyati natava nakadamarichi. Idamichami nisamyata vachuta tarapi kripa bhuta vichi. Idamichami nisamyata vachuta tarapi kripa bhuta vichi. Samaru karam paya nija para pankaja makarande. Mana samaru karam paya nija para pankaja makarande. Krishna deva Rupa Goswami is saying that Didu means Brahma. He says that I know is a very difficult thing. Lord Brahma, he's the source of all the Vedas. And in his trance of meditation, hardly he can even see the effulgence coming from your toenails. Huh? He says, but idam ichchami nisamyata vachuta. Oh, Achyuta, still, I have this desire. I'm not going to go anywhere else. I have no other desire. Simply this thing. Krishna Deva Bhavanta.
Yadyapi Madhava Natvahi Mama Tila Matri Bhaktirudan Shati Yadyapi Madhava Natvahi Mama Tila Matri Bhaktirudan Shati Yadyapi Madhava Natvahi Mama Tila Matri Bhaktirudan Shati Yadyapi Madhava Natvahi Mama Tila Parameshvara tatara pita vadika dudata gati mavidati. Parameshvara tatara pita vadika dudata gati mavidati. Parameshvara tatara pita vadika dudata gati mavidati.
Rupa Manjari, she's thinking to herself that perhaps Krishna at that time, he'll say, if you want to know me, if you want to see me, how do you see Krishna? What does Krishna say in the Gita? Bhaktya mama bhajanati yavanyas tasmi tatvataha. If you want to see me, it requires some bhakti. So then Rupa, she's saying, bhakti rudanchati, yad yapi madhava, natvahi mama tila matri. The word tila is very significant. Tila means a sesame seed. He said, if you're saying that I have to have bhakti to see you, then I'm finished. Because I don't even have a sesame seed of bhakti. Therefore, my prayer to you is that Parameshwarata, you're the supreme controller, Parameshwar. And Durgata Gatana Vidatri, those things which are very, very difficult, which are impossible, you can make very, very easy.
Krishna Deva Bhavantam Bande. Krishna Deva Bhavantam Bande. Krishna. Hana Manasa Marukara Mapaya Nijupara Pante. I am a Vidola Lata Yasanatana Kalita Dita Rasavara Viva Satunityami Hamrita Nindini Vinda Moduri Masara Viva Satunityami Hamrita Nindini Vinda Moduri Masara Satunityami Hamrita Nindini Vinda Moduri Masara Viva Satunityami Hamrita Nindini Vinda Moduri Masara Krishna Deva Bhavantam Bande Krishna Krishna Deva Samaru karama paya nija para pankaja makarande Mana mana samaru karama paya nija para pankaja makarande Krishna deva bhavan chandande Krishna Krishna deva bhavan
he's praying to Krishna. And Rupa Goswami, perhaps in his mind's eye, Krishna is telling him, anyway, what do you want with my lotus feet? Huh? Why are you so interested in my feet? Huh? So he responds to that, I am Avilola Dattaja Sanatana, Kalita Bhuta Rasabharam. Because your lotus feet, they're so flavorful. They're full of wonderful rasa, a very, very wonderful mellow. Huh? And what is the nature of this rasa, this particular mellow? Huh? There's many very nice, flavorful things that we can taste in this world. But if we go to a feast and they have a very nice nectar drink, we consider that to be very wonderful because we all want some nectar. So Rupa Goswami describes the nature of Krishna's lotus feet. Niva satu nityam ihamrita nindini vindami durimasaram. He says, your feet are the essence of all nectar. And that your feet, they have this thing in the heavenly planets they call Amrit. And that if you take this Amrit, you'll be able to live for a very fantastic period of time for thousands of years. He says, but the nectar of your lotus feet are so wonderful that they criticize very naturally this so-called nectar of the devatas. Because if someone tastes the nectar coming from Krishna's lotus feet, then they never have to take birth again. Krishna Deva Bhava. Samaru karama paya nija para pankajama parande mana mana samaru karama paya nija para pankajama parande mana mana samaru karama paya nija para pankajama parande mana mana samaru karama paya nija para Krishna Deva Bhavantam, Krishna Deva Bhavantam, Krishna Srimad Lalita Sakhi Ki Jai, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Shyam.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Srimati Lalita is the leader of the Ashta Sakis, and she is very famous as Srimati Radharani's constant companion and follower. In other words, wherever you find Srimati Radhika, There will be Lalita and Vishakha. But first, Lalita. Her husband is called Bhairava. Now we have a little family information. And is a close friend of Govardhan, Gopal, the husband of Chandravali. In other words, her husband is also opposed to Krishna in the Leela. But nevertheless, in that very particular relationship of Parakiya Bhava, we hear that the gopis overcome all difficulties, even the most greatest amongst difficulties, who are like 1 billion mustard seeds put together in a huge mountain. Huh? They are going forward to Krishna. Srimati Lalita Sakhi is altogether 27 days older than Srimati Radharani. And she is the eldest amongst all the other gopis, therefore she wields the greatest authority over everyone. We hear that when Krishna has done something to upset Srimati Radharani and makes entreaties to come close to Radha, Lalita forbids her, don't let this rascal come too close. And out of fear of the tremendous authority of Lalita Sakhi, Radharani obeys. Her complexion, like how does she look like, is like the yellow pigment called Gorachana. Gorachana is a yellowish color which develops in the hoof of the cow and has an almost fluorescent effulgence. When you see that on a cow, it's a very, it jumps into the eyes. Her garments are having the systematic mustering of a pattern of beautiful peacock feathers. And she is very famous to be hot-tempered. Like when she will talk to Krishna and forbid him to come close to Srimati Radharani, her voice will be of an extremely high pitch. It will be very high! That I'm having an ordinary Hare Krishna audience. You need to wake them up. And in this way, it is very difficult to resist Lalita's order. You know, when a very high voice gets a message to you, you obey usually because... Oh, this is very intense. She is famous to be hot-tempered and contrary by nature. You know the gopis fall into two wings. One of the submissive or right wing group and then the other of the left wing or contrary group, which says to Krishna, no, you cannot come here. And these gopis serve Krishna more with their mood. She is teaching Srimati Radharani the art of jealous anger. It's apparently an art. When the arrogant gopis take a fight with Krishna, she's always in the forefront of the conflict. Like she will argue with Krishna, she will make jokes about Krishna. She wields absolute authority amongst the gopis. Her service is to serve the divine couple by offering them tambula and betel nuts. This is spicy food, and she has assistance. And here I believe we can enter a different type of hearing, because all of a sudden here we will come into something which is very relevant also for us. As you know, we visited Terkadamba, the place of Rupa Manjari, first. Now we are at Uchagaon, the place of Lalita Sakhi, who has a very wonderful relationship to Rupa Manjari. She's the leader of a group where the Manjaris are helping. Srimati Radharani has also a very distinct other service to the divine couple. Wherever Radha and Krishna goes, you will see her carrying an umbrella made of flowers to shade the divine couple. And she is also expert in making different flower arrangements to decorate them. I don't know if you know, Krishna has flower shoes. And they don't break. He has many very, very beautiful flower ornaments. And often Lord Krishna has something like a little flower veil. They come in strings of flowers down. They're usually white kunda flowers and blend very nicely to the nose pearl, which is their playing in Krishna's lotus nose. So Lalita Sakhi knows how to arrange these beautiful flower decorations, and therefore is very famous. She also decorates the cottages where Radha and Krishna will spend the night. And these are flower kunjas, which are having usually two spaces. One is an inner space, a very secret space, and then the second is something like a balcony with a terrace arrangement from which the divine couple can survey the beauty of the Vrindavan forest. These Sakhis are very, very close to the divine couple, as you could see from the service of Lalita Sakhi. They're very, very close. They instruct the divine couple, they decorate the divine couple, etc., etc. And because they are so very close to the divine couple, we require their permission in order to come close to Radha and Krishna. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it states, without the gopis, there is no Radha Krishna Leela. The gopis are necessary for the Leela to unfold, and they are there as the guardians of that Leela, but also as the Ashainas of that Leela. We hear that once Kamsa, no, I will not tell this story. In the Gaga Samhita, we hear how once the devatas approached Goloka and they wanted to have an entrance. There was a big gate. The gate opened for a moment. Out came a little gopi, and the gate closed again. By the way, this gate doesn't require oil, so it didn't make that sound. So the devatas, powerful devatas, saw a sweet little girl standing there. And the devatas, the girl asked, what are you here? What are you doing? What do you want? We want to see Radha and Krishna. Ah. Are you qualified to see them? By the way, said Chandanana, who are you? Brahma said, I'm Brahma. Can't you see? He had four heads, so not everyone has four heads and a crown. Can't you see? Chandanana asked, which Brahma, please, identify yourself. Brahma was perplexed. I mean, I have to answer to a little girl? I, the powerful creator, have to give an answer to a little girl? And she has now asked a question to me, which she seems to reveal her utter disregard of me. I can imagine when someone would ask our Burijan Prabhu, Burijan Prabhu, which Burijan Prabhu are you?
I'd have a hard time answering.
Yeah. or I don't want to embarrass a dear friend of mine. If someone asks me, which Sachinandan Swami are you?
I'm the author. I'm the much criticized Swami. I'm the much liked Swami. I would maybe get into my false ego to give my identification. But Brahma had never heard such a question. Brahma, which Brahma? Which creator, please? And he was perplexed. So it said that Lord Vishnu from the universe of Brahma had come along, and he said, tell her, because she is really in charge here. Tell her, you are the Brahma who's the father of the four Kumaras. Tell her this, and she will. So Brahma finally got given an answer. Yes, I'm that Brahma. So from this little vignette, pastime, we understand really you require an invitation to enter into the kingdom of God. And the ones who deal with this matter are the gopis, the assistants in the divine pastimes. And therefore, without an understanding of the services of the gopis, the mood of the gopis, it will be impossible for a soul of this world to enter the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna. By the way, without you knowing it, Prabhupada is training us in this mood from the beginning, where he explains, really, or trains us in becoming utterly surrendered to the desire of Krishna and doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna. It is this utter surrender which you have heard in the pastime of Dehakund, where Manasa Deha Geho Yo Icha Toma, where my body, my mind, my house, my everything is yours, Krishna, which we are trained. I would now like to tell you a very nice pastime of how the mercy of Radharani was given to a very fortunate devotee through the mercy of the gopis. I want first, I don't know, is this a question, is this a subject which is interesting for you? Yes. It has your fascination. This was a very weak response, so let me ask the question in another way. Will you give me your promise to try your best to be alert and receptive to the subject matter?
Yes!
Good. This was a promise?
Yes!
Good. So now you need to find a switch within your subtle body. You need to put it on. It's hearing transcendental subject. I want to make this point, which is very important, my dear devotees. Shravanam and Kirtanam are the prime devotional services to be rendered. Shravana is, in other words, a service which you do. Hearing is a service, especially at the sacred place. It is a service. Please imagine there is an absolute need and someone doesn't step forward and fulfill that need. He doesn't do this service. That is not good. So when we come to a holy place, there is a sign of respect to listen very carefully and attentively and perform this service. That is very nice. Then, when we are going into this mood, something will come into our heart and stay there. Hare Krishna. I will talk about how the mercy of Radharani came through Vishakha, but often it comes through Lalita. So, in principle, it is the same subject. As you know, there are three very powerful disciples of Jiva Goswami, who carried
Gaudiya Vaishnavism into the next generation. It was Syamananda, Srinivas, and Narottam. Syamananda was sent by Jiva Goswami to Vrindavan, where he went into the, into the training of Jiva Goswami. He was, his day looked a little bit like this. He would get up very early. He would perform different types of services, including the go-seva, the cow service. He would prepare manuscripts and the ink for writing, and then he would learn the granthas of Rupa Goswami from Jiva Goswami and would be trained in many other things. Now, at other times, he also received a very confidential service, which is very well known amongst the sadhus in Braj. He received the Yaru Seva, that is, he swept regularly the forest, which is called the Nikunya Van, where the divine couple spent their nocturnal pastimes. There are many devotees who come to Braj to offer this simple service. They go sweeping. Also here in this temple is a devotee, a Mataji, who I don't see at this moment, Savari, who came from the Mumbai, Maharashtra area, and from morning to evening she does sweeping here, the streets and so on and so forth. She's covered with the dust of Vrindavan, because by going into the mood of a sweeper, you can very often attract divine mercy. So Syamananda went every day to perform his service very early in the morning in Nikunya Van. Syamananda once in the night time didn't sleep. By the way, these great souls don't like sleeping. He did a very, very powerful meditation about the Leela of Radha and Krishna. And while he was meditating about Radha and Krishna, he saw a divine pastime come up on the screen of his mind. I believe yesterday when you saw the sadhu's vision, you have seen how that is. These great devotees would chant the Maha Mantra, and as they were chanting, the form, the qualities and the pastimes of the Lord spontaneously emerged in their mind. When you are more advanced, this will also happen in your life. So Syamananda was doing this Leela meditation, and he saw all of a sudden how Radha and Krishna danced and danced, and they danced in abundance, and Radharani displayed a novelty of very beautiful dancing forms as the ragas developed in intensity and in pitch, and all of a sudden an ankle bell loosened and fell from the feet of Srimati Radharani and rolled underneath a bush, unnoticed by the divine couple. Syamananda thought, after his meditation was over, if I actually saw the divine pastimes, then this morning, when I go to do my Jaru Seva, my sweeping service, I should be able to find the ankle bell at the exact same spot where I saw it in my spurti, when it appeared spontaneously on the screen of my heart. So next morning, he very, very quickly went to that particular bush, looked underneath the leaves, and there it was, a divine ankle bell with a divine effulgence. Shyamananda felt ecstasy move into his heart. He immediately took the anchor bell and hid it. Just a little later, he saw an elderly lady looking very anxiously. She came just to him and said, have you seen an effulgent ankle bell, please? My daughter-in-law has lost it, and we require it very, very quickly. Shyamananda looked at that elderly lady. There was something about her which told him, this is not an elderly lady, it's a divine persona. We will leave the story here. This is called, in telling a story, a cliffhanger. The audience is becoming interested. What will be the end of the story? But we will leave it here. We will ask the question, who was this fortunate soul, Shyamananda? No, don't worry, we will return to the story after some time. But you need to understand now, who was he? Well, he was born in Orissa in a village called Darendra Bahadurpur. His father was Sri Krishna Mandal and his mother Sri Durika. They had many children, but all of the children died, one after the other, until this Shyamananda was born. The parents thought, well, all our children died immediately. Let us call him, and we became very miserable. Let us call him already now, Dukhya or Dukhi. Dukhi means the miserable one. Then maybe death will leave his hands from him and will not take our beloved little son. Death will not become attached to this miserable child who has the name the miserable one. His birth was totally auspicious and it was seen as the mercy of Lord Jagannath. And as he emerged from the mother's womb, this little child had as a pronounced feature of his beauty lotus eyes which extended almost to his ears. Everything was done, all the sanskaras. I will jump a little ahead. All in the village became totally attached to Dukhi, who looked so sweet. His father was a long-time bhakta of Gorni Thai. So his father one day, Sri Krishna Mandal is the name of his father, approached Dukhi and said, my dear son, I have thought about you. The time of your initiation has come. Please choose your spiritual master. At this, Dukhi gave a very, very amazing answer. He said, my spiritual master does not live in this village. He doesn't live in this country. He is Sri Hriday Chaitanya in Ambika Kalna. He is my guru, my eternal spiritual master. Now the boy had never been outside of Orissa up till then, not in Ambika Kalna. His father said, how will you find this village in Bengal? How will you find your guru? Shyamananda said, father, by Krishna's mercy I will find him. Allow me to go with the pilgrims who go to Gaurdham, to Gauranga's sacred abode, and they will drop me at Ambika Kalna. He said, one morning, the great soul Hriday Chaitanya was leaving his house when he saw a body
stretched out before the house of a very effulgent looking boy. He came to the boy and he said, "Who are you and what do you wish?" This moment Dukhi raised his eyes. They were tear-filled. And with great humility he said, "I want to become your disciple. Please accept me, Guru Maharaj." Sri Hriday Chaitanya looked into his heart and could see there are all the noble qualities of a great Vaishnava. And he embraced him and said, "Dhira, dhira, slowly, slowly, but I get to know you and we will see." He was later initiated, and after some time, Hriday Chaitanya saw that his disciple had inclinations to know more about Krishna and Raja Leela, and therefore Hriday Chaitanya sent him to Jiva Goswami, who had studied personally under the Goswamis, who knew all the Goswami Granth's literature, and who was the leading exponent of Chaitanya Bhakti of that time. There's a long journey description of Syamananda, but I will make it short. He came to Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan and handed Jiva Goswami a very loving letter written in the handwriting of our Hriday Chaitanya. The letter said, "I am entrusting Dukhi Krishna Das to your care. Please fulfill his mind's desire and after some time send him back to me." Let us pause for a moment. Krishna consciousness is a thing which a science which needs to be studied. And when a certain disciple develops certain tendencies and likings on his spiritual path, it is in our tradition customary that he continues to learn. His guru will send him, will either give him books or help him to learn further. But the Shiksha Guru, and this will be very important for our onward discussion, is always totally in harmony with the teachings of the Diksha Guru. If a disciple who becomes inquisitive of the transcendental subject matter goes and learns from a Shiksha Guru whose teachings and whose conduct and whose line is not favorable to the line in which he has developed Diksha, accidents will happen in his or her spiritual life. This is very important so that to understand this, so that you understand the rest of this amazing spiritual, I would almost say, educational drama which will unfold before our eyes. So he became a classmate to the great soul Srinivas and Narottam, and the three of them studied under Jiva Goswami's tutorship. So this one morning where I left you off, Syamananda was in the groove of Nikonyavan. He was sweeping. He thought his life is successful. Tears of love flooded the ground of Nikonyavan and made the ground quite muddy. He thought, "I have reached everything." Sometimes he became inert. At other times he put the broom on his head and smashed it against his skull so that sufficient dust was impregnating his skull. And
he sang songs. He thought even Lord Brahma and Shiva desire this dust, and I'm all covered with this. He thought, I don't need anything more than this dust. And then, as I said, he found he found this anchor bell, and he found, and a little later, this elderly lady was there. Shyamananda said, whoever you are who wants to take this anchor bell, please identify yourself. Oh, no, said the older lady. I'm from the Braj area. Which village? The older lady, this answer didn't come so spontaneously. I'm from such and such village. What is the name of your daughter-in-law who has lost this costly ankle bell? Ankle bracelet, it's actually called. Again, the elderly lady stammered and finally gave the name. Shyamananda said, I know this village, but I know that there's not a single girl with this name. I've also never seen you when I went on Madhukari. And by the way, this ankle bracelet is so costly, which I found, that it is not within your means. You are very poor. This ankle bracelet is more expensive than the most costly decorations on earth and beyond. The elderly lady started to sigh and breathe. You bhaktas are always so intelligent. Yes, I'm Mama. Anyways, I'm Vishaka. Shyamananda was in ecstasy. He had assumed that. Can I see your form as a proof? No, how will you see? The very, very splendid, very spiritual. How will you see? Give me the eyes to see. Vishaka finally did so and revealed her divine form to Shyamananda. And just a little away from that divine form, in the distance, Shyamananda saw another divine form under a kalpa vriksha tree on a throne. He saw the beautiful form of Vrishabhanu Nandini. And then the form disappeared. Vishaka said, so give me the anchor bell. You have seen more than enough. Give me the ankle bracelet. Shyamananda said, no. I do not know how reliable you are. I will only give it to Radha. It's the ankle bell of Radha. I saw it in a divine vision. Vishaka said, I will ask Radharani. After some time, Vishaka came back with a joyful smile and said, Shyamananda, today you are very fortunate. Come with me. And she led Vishaka, and she led Shyamananda to Radhakund. Now take your bath. This bath will purify you. And then you can see my mistress, Srimati Radharani. Shyamananda did so. And in a total divine body, he came out of the Radhakund and was led to Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani took him very close, or her very close, and received the ankle bracelet with great joy and said, you have given a great pleasure to me. From this day on, your name will be changed. You will not be Dukhi, the miserable. You will be Syamananda, the pleasure Ananda of my Lord Syam. Because you have given the ankle bracelet, which is to me, which is in great need for our divine pastime. It would cause a lot of trouble if I would have for our pastime, if I would be seen without this ankle bracelet. You have given pleasure today to my Lord Syam. Also, come closer, your tilak will be changed. And with these words, Srimati Radharani pressed the ankle bracelet on the forehead of this very fortunate devotee. And when she took the bracelet back, it was imprinted there as a new tilak. This tilak, said Radharani, will remain on your forehead. From today you will be known as Syamananda. Now you may go. At this moment, Syamananda's trance broke. He came out of the trunks. He was alone. He was in his male body there. And he remembered everything. His hands went quickly to his forehead. And there was a new tilak. There was some feeling of divine pleasure. He went quickly back to Jiva Goswami. He cried. Tears jumped from his eyes on the ground. And Jiva said, please pacify yourself. What has happened to you so that you are so much out of your mind? Syamananda said, this has happened to me, and told the whole story. Jiva Goswami said, you're very fortunate, but don't tell it to anyone. Trouble is ahead. Yeah, but what should we do? Radharani said, I should wear this name, Syamananda. Okay, said Jiva Goswami with a knowing smile. I call you Syamananda from now on. So Syamananda continued his service in the Vans and in the Nikunya Van, and learned many things from Jiva Goswami. But even at that time, the Vaishnava society was a quick-mouthed society. It is not that only we are quick-mouthed and all other times we are slow-mouthed. No, no. The news reached Hriday Chaitanya in Ambika Kalna, Bengal. Your disciple has a new name and a new tilak that smells like reinitiation. Hriday Chaitanya felt deeply hurt. How could my disciple leave me? How could he? And how could the exalted Jiva Goswami do a forbidden thing and take a disciple? This is not Krishna's desire. This is not Radha's desire. This is Maya. And he went with the 60 former Hans, these powerful learned carriers of Mahaprabhu's torchlight, to Braj, with deep pain in his heart. After all, the guru loves his disciple, and when the disciple goes strange ways and looks for new affiliations, it is very, very pain-giving to our kind spiritual master. Shiksha is good. Shiksha is required. But guru hopping is a sin. Hriday Chaitanya went in a storm and came to Vrindavan, and he said with a heavy voice, I want to see Dukhi Krishna Das, not Syamananda. Syamananda came forward. Oh, my dear Guru Maharaj, I'm so happy to see you. And he paid his obeisances. When he looked up and saw the pain-distorted face of his guru, a volcano exploded. Your behavior is unacceptable, abominable, and in great turmoil, in great inner turmoil, Hridaya Chaitanya gave Shyamananda a solid beating. Shyamananda tolerated this humbly, and in his mind called Radhe, 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 and said, "You please help me, Radharani. It is your name giving, and it is your tilak." By that time, Hridaya Chaitanya said, "How did this injustice thing happen? I need to speak to Jiva Goswami." He had an audience with Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami told him, "I didn't give this name. It is Radharani who gave the name, and Radharani who gave the tilak." "Ah," said Hridaya Chaitanya, "if this is true, then Radharani will protect his name and will protect his tilak. We will make a test." So they wrote with Gopi Chandan the name Shyamananda on his chest. And they said to Dukhi, to Shyamananda, "Shyamananda, if this is a divine name and a divine tilak, we will not be able to wash it off your forehead and your chest." So a bowl of water was brought, and whenever the name was attempted to be removed, it appeared in bold letters, Shyamananda. Whenever the tilak was attempted to be removed, the tilak reappeared. It could not, not even reappeared. It stayed there. And in this way, the truth of the story was already proof. But for the final proof, Srimati Radharani appeared before Hridaya Chaitanya, the angry Hridaya Chaitanya, and said, "I am the one who was satisfied with Dukhi Krishna Das's service, and I changed his tilak and name. What do you or anyone else have to say about it?" And when this final proof, combined with the exalted darshan of Srimati Radharani, was given to Hridaya Chaitanya, he consented and accepted. He went back to Bengal, served his guru, and then was sent to Utkala, where he developed a wonderful preaching mission and preaching revolution, and accepted, as I understand, Rasikananda as his very powerful disciple also. We went with Madhavananda to this place of Rasikananda and remembered this.
What's it called? What place?
That was in Rimuna. There is this very beautiful... I believe we saw even the bedding or the shoes of Rasikananda. We saw everything.
So we saw his deity also.
We saw his deity also. So we saw everything. It is all visible for a pilgrim. So what I wanted to say with this story, I hope it was not too long for you and you could follow and relish. What I wanted to tell with this story is to see Srimati Radharani or to have divine darshans is very it's very necessary to enter into Gopi Bhava. Now, as we all know, this is one of the forbidden words, not forbidden, the words which has fallen in disrepute because of immature handling with this divine philosophy and so on. And also, Srila Prabhupada has seen our immature probings to enter without sufficient qualification, the highest, it's called echatonology of our scriptures, the highest things of our philosophy. There are many, many, anyways, I don't want to speak about this sad chapter of Gaudiya Vaishnavism and also our movement, But Prabhupada wrote a letter. It's not that the mood of the gopis is forbidden. It is desired. Now, how does a conditioned soul get in contact with this divine mood? Listen very carefully. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you have to develop the mood which is there, which is prevalent there. And this is, and if you want to relate to Lord Krishna in the mood of the Madhurya Rasa, or the way the gopis serve Krishna, you have to develop the mood of the gopis. They are our teachers, they are examples, they are our role models. There is one essential, quality of this mood which we are trained in this world. If you enter the school of this mood, you will become qualified, and then you will be contacted at an appropriate time by one of the eternal associates of Lord Krishna, and you will be brought onwards on your path. This mood is really the mood of a humble servitor who engages body, mind and words in the service of Krishna. This is the mood in which Srila Prabhupada is training his disciples and grand disciples and preparing them in a very careful and very well considered way. It is only from this platform where you will be able to attract the mercy of these divine servants of Krishna. It is only with this mood that Lalita Sakhi will show the mercy to you. When we come to this sacred place, we are actually very nicely situated. Please look directly back without hurting your sacred necks. There you see on the hill Srimati Radharani's place. We are viewing it from Lalita's place, a little distant, very respectful and carefully. And we remember here how Lalita Sakhi relates to Srimati Radharani. That is, she serves the divine couple. She is a shade, carries an umbrella, you know. She quarrels with Krishna to give pleasure to Radharani, so that there is first a separation and then a very pleasurable union of the divine couple. These gopis do everything divine couple. Ashlishyava pararatam, Srimati Radharani says. Even if you neglect me, if that gives you pleasure, my lord, wonderful, then I serve you like that. This divine mood is very, very essential to develop, and it's something we are trained in from the beginning of our Krishna consciousness. So please continue in this wonderful current of a humble servant which will sweep you towards the divine associates of Lord Krishna, and they again will hand you to Radha and Krishna and give you personal service eventually. Let us go joyfully in this university of divine surrender and humble servant service. And this is what we could pray for here at this most sacred spot, which is nicely warmed up by the sun of the mercy of Srimati Radharani. I want to end here because most probably I was a little talkative and a little long-winded. Please join me. Srimati Lalita Sakhi ki de si radhe. Okay. So
So we will quickly get up and in sacred procession go to Narayan Bhatta's place.